This is Snarky Puppy with Young Stuff, part of the album Ground Up, and this is The Loft. Hope to catch you next week.
Fit in anywhere I go. Rivers belong where they can ramble. Eagles belong where they can fly. I've got to be where my spirit can run free. Gotta find my corner of the sky. His daydreams, every man has his goal. People like the way dreams have of sticking to the soul. Thunderclouds have their lightning, nightingales have their song. And don't you see, I want my life to be something more than long. Rivers belong where they can ramble. Eagles belong where they can fly. To be where my spirit can run free. Gotta find my corner of the sky.
Hello. Oh. This is Mona and Noah Save the World, and you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio.
And today we have a very special guest. Everyone welcome Gabby.
Hi.
Yay. This is Gabby's first time not only on Mona and Noah Save the World, but in the WMFO studio, which is crazy.
Yeah, it's very exciting. Thank you for having me.
You are so glad. Thank you for coming, yes. Gabby. We have a very exciting topic tonight.
Yes.
Very, very interesting. Noah, tell us the story about the topic.
So, yes, I have wanted to do this topic for a little bit.
I resisted.
Mona heavily resisted.
Heavily. We will soon find out why. We'll get there. We'll
yes,
get there.
For sure. But the theme for today is ambition. And we want to talk about, is it a good thing or a bad thing? Or maybe a gray area? And how does society today interact with this concept of ambition? And like, is that a good thing or a bad thing? And how can maybe people feel pressured by ambition when they just want to live more calm and simple lives, and they shouldn't be pressured to, you know, be a celebrity or be some, like, why can't a scientist, like, not be discovering something that's groundbreaking? Why can't they be discovering something that's useful, but, like, not the most exciting thing in the world, you know?
Mm-hmm.
All those types of things, and I'm sure much, much more.
Yes, and as we know, the wonderful musical Pippin is about this guy who kind of is always looking for more, always looking for more, more, more. Very ambitious fellow.
Yes, you just heard Corner of the Sky, which is sort of the opening number. Well, one of the, it's like the second number
yeah, but it's
in
like,
Pippin.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like one of the main themes of this character yeah. who's like, I know that in my life I can do something amazing, and like I just have to find my place, and like I'm going to carve out for myself something
and spoiler alert, the lesson he learns is that he didn't need to constantly be searching for something amazing, because what he had with Catherine and what's his face, the kid, Theo, was, you know,
amazing,
was amazing all along, and the simple life was okay.
Maybe, or just maybe, we can be very happy and like.
I think fulfilled. I think something that I've found. Let's go into my sob story. I went to a high school that was had a surplus of ambition, and if you were not constantly striving to be number one at the top, doing the most amazing thing, you were doing something wrong, which of course led to a very unpleasant environment. But kind of what frustrated me a lot was I felt like the surplus of ambition led to a large lack of appreciation and gratefulness for what you have.
Mm-hmm.
I think. Obviously, you know, ambition has its, you know, good things, and I, you know, consider myself an ambitious person, but if you're ambitious at the cost of not being grateful for what you already have, then that's kind of like the point of Pippin, is like he wasn't grateful for what he did have, in my opinion.
Interesting.
Okay, yeah, you rolled your eyes.
I think it's about finding meaning in the world, and like he tries a whole bunch of different things, and he's like, will this bring me meaning? And he's sort of searching, and like his end goal is just like to find success and to like to find glory and like to find like this deep like success of ambition without actually being ambitious about any specific
thing.
That's such a good point. That's sort of the difference between maybe ambition and passion. Like passion is really focused and like it drives you in an area, but ambition is sort of like, I feel like passion is maybe more intrinsic, whereas like ambition is almost more of an extrinsic idea. I totally could be wrong there, though.
No, I think that makes sense. Gabby, what are your thoughts? Let's go to you.
Well, I've been thinking that ambition is a good thing, and the problem is just with achievement culture and with like using your ambition to do bad things. And I see ambition and passion as like pretty similar and like both intrinsic, but that might just be like the way I see the word.
Well, I feel like a lot of times on this show we end up coming up with like different interpretations of the same word
or
the same idea, like, because I think of ambition very much as like a striving for the sake of striving, but I think that's just my own content, you know, so it's like,
I mean, you can definitely be ambitious about specific things, but I feel like you also can just be like, I'm an ambitious person. Like, you wouldn't say, I guess you could say I'm a passionate person, but it's way
easier. Those are different things.
It's way easier to be like, I'm just generally ambitious than it is to be like, I'm passionate about X, Y, and Z, I feel.
Mm-hmm. But Gabby, do you consider yourself an ambitious person?
I would say no. I don't consider myself very ambitious. I feel like my mom would be like really upset to hear that.
I think if you was ambitious.
I guess I would say like more committed or like excited by certain things. But yeah,
so
I guess
passionate.
I guess you just proved your point that ambitious can have its faults.
I think Tufts as a campus is definitely very passionate, but also I would say probably pretty ambitious, I think. Like there's a big push to like leave Tufts, and then like I know everyone in the computer, not everybody, but I feel like a lot of people in the computer science department are like, I'm going to leave Tufts and go work at like one of the big four like tech companies.
Yeah, I think it's pretty ambitious, but again, this is just my own background, but I think it has a really good balance of being ambitious without just the like mindless, aimless like search for like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the people are really ambitious, but like you said, usually their ambition like has a clearly stated goal. Mm-hmm. They're not just like, I need to be at the top.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, I want to be really, you know, I want to go on to do X, Y, and Z.
I do think a lot of people are like, I really like Tufts because I don't feel like I'm always competing with my classmates over things, which I feel like ambition for the sake of ambition, like drives you to like manipulate and want others to fail so that you can succeed. Whereas in passion,
okay,
like,
I don't think
when you're passionate about something, you want others to not, you like want to share that passion. But ambition is, I think, maybe more selfish.
Yeah, I think that's also part of where my negative association with ambition comes in, is that a lot of times it feels like being ambitious for yourself comes at the expense of others. And yeah, so I do consider myself an ambitious person, which I think is part of why I like push back against it, because it's like parts of myself I don't necessarily like very like kind of competitive and like hard on myself. I'm like, I need to be doing better. But like something that, yeah, I lost my train of thought. What are we talking about?
Well,
you keep going.
I think it's interesting like how you say your school experience was like very ambitious, because I feel like at my school we were like much more spread out, and so I was kind of like, I think I'm like pretty clearly like more or less at the top.
Yeah.
Kind of. And so like there wasn't as much of that, because like not everybody was competing to like be the top. And like you didn't like settle where you were, because like of course everybody was like, well, I would say like a quarter of the school was like really trying. Don't know about the rest. I think a lot of people in my school just wanted to leave all the time. So like I don't think I'm, maybe I am really ambitious.
Oh, you are ambitious. You're definitely ambitious.
Yeah.
But I remember what I was going to say. I remembered it. It was that, oh my God, ambition at the expense of others. Oh, okay, I have it. I'm not going to let it go. But that, you know, I think of myself as an ambitious person, but like the fields I want to go into of like nonprofit and like, you know, like helping build a more equitable world, these are fields where it's like hard to be like, I don't know, saying like, yeah, I want to be at the top of the nonprofit game.
I don't know.
Seems almost counterintuitive. No.
Well, like I think it, like ideally it shouldn't be that way, but I think nonprofits are extremely competitive in trying to like get funding from the same sources.
Yeah.
And I think are just like as equally competitive as like,
I know, but then I feel businesses. Guilty because I'm like me being like, I want to be the best at saving the world. Like that seems like counterintuitive.
Is that the name of your podcast?
Or oh yeah, it is.
Mona and Noah save the world. I think we're both pretty ambitious.
Yeah, I think we're both, but also yeah, just like I think it's like hard to be like, yeah, I want to be at the top, but like, you know, everything I'm learning is saying like, remember like power differentials and how they're bad, and I'm like, but I still want power.
See, I think I'm ambitious, but I don't want power.
Yeah, you are less power driven. I am more power driven. I like the power. How about you, Gabby? Power. Let's debrief.
How do I feel about power?
Yeah.
I mean, I definitely like it. I think I've become more, like, controlling as I've gotten older.
Ooh.
Which I think is interesting. I feel like part of that is, like, being a youngest sibling, maybe.
Okay, fair.
Now I'm like, oh, finally, I have the power.
You have the power.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Very interesting.
Gabby and I were in a group project together, and...
Yeah, and I was
special.
Like really controlling.
No, but I thought the two of us actually worked really well together.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
Even though we came from entirely
no shade
different places.
To the other people.
No, yeah, they also we. I mean, it was challenging, but like, Gabby and I had very different styles, but because almost we were like, it was weird. Like we were both like kind of like.
Yeah, well, I think we're both like analytical in a way.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. But I'm saying it didn't feel like, because I also tend in group projects to be like. Oh, too controlling, but I feel like we didn't clash with each other.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Very interesting.
Nothing to do with what we're talking about, but that was...
A good aside,
for sure.
Well, I have noticed that when you're, like, really self-critical, or, like, when I'm really self-critical, that I'm just, like, more competitive and critical of others.
Ooh.
So, like, that might play into ambition and
tell us
first
more.
Passion.
Tell us more.
Well, I think like if you're always looking at yourself for like to like judge how you can do better and be better, then you're gonna be like doing like going through that same process
with
other people in your life, even if you don't want to.
Fair. Interesting. Yeah, I just can't shake off the negative. Sorry, the negative association. Like I don't know.
Well, maybe then you need some inspiration.
I was trying to feed you something to to do any of your little transitions because I find them so funny.
I do enjoy them. Yeah, I think maybe to shake it off, climb over it, overcome that like negative aura that you have. Maybe the climb about overcoming things can
amazing
about so that
let's go.
Sort of an aimless ambition and just like just keep getting over the obstacles in life type thing.
Oh, interesting. Well, we can talk about that aimless ambition.
So here it is, Miley Cyrus's "The Climb."
I can almost see it. That dream I'm dreaming, but there's a voice inside my head saying you'll never reach it. Every step I'm taking, every move I make feels lost with no direction. My faith is shaken, but I gotta keep trying, gotta keep my held high. There's always gonna be another mountain. I'm always gonna wanna make it move. Always gonna be an uphill battle. Sometimes I'm gonna have to lose. It ain't about how fast I get there. Ain't about what's waiting on the other side. It's the climb. Struggles I'm facing, the chances I'm taking, sometimes might knock me down, but no, I'm not breaking. I may not know it, but these are the moments that I'm gonna remember most, yeah. Just gotta keep going.
Thank you, Miley. We love you.
Is it true that Miley Cyrus is trying to become Hannah Montana again?
I thought that was just a fan rumor.
I feel like I heard about that. Was it just a fan rumor? Very possibly was.
I mean, she cut her hair like Hannah Montana. But I don't know if that's... And by she cut her hair by like Hannah Montana, I mean she went blonde and got bangs.
Oh, that is not so as that's revolutionary not quite as I had thought.
Yeah, I don't know. And then people are like, and the Jonas Brothers are back. They're thinking there's going to be some big Disney...
Some big Disney reveal.
But I don't think there is.
Guess what, early 2000s kids? Your Disney Channel is back and everybody's older now. Wow.
Woo, so
you know
exciting.
That some of them have like now done profane things, but we're bringing them back.
Oh my god,
I'm keeping it so real. Funny.
They just like pretend to be the same age they were as if they haven't, like as if 10 years haven't passed in that time.
I mean, I think Jason Earls, like Hannah Montana's
wasn't
brother,
he,
on the
like,
show, he was like 39, yeah. I think. He was like almost
was
in
really
his
old.
40s. And he was playing like an 18-year-old boy.
That was so weird. That made me so unhappy.
TV is so strange.
TV is so strange. That's going to be a whole other... But yeah, I don't know. The Climb, we were kind of saying, like, is it about aimless ambition or is it about process over product? Are those the same? Are they different?
I think aimless ambition is a form of process over product, but, like, process over product can entail things that are not aimless ambition.
Hmm. Interesting. And Pippin is the living embodiment of aimless ambition.
For sure.
I haven't seen Pippin, so I feel like...
You don't want to.
You really do. It's so good.
It's not good at all.
I love Pippin.
I feel really torn now. I don't know whose advice to follow here.
I'm trying to think if Gabby would like it. It depends on, like, the production you see.
Yeah, if it's a good production, it's so cool.
No, I don't think you'll like it that much.
I think
it's essentially about this
shot.
Spoiled brat who's like whining for 2 hours.
Okay, that the is only good such a negative framing of
the
it.
The only good character is his evil stepmother, Estrada.
Oh my god.
Who I played so well.
Wonder where this bias is coming from. It can also be a way to evaluate what your priorities are in life and to question that and be like, am I doing things that make me happy? Like, what is fueling me? Because I still am not sure if, like, ambition is bad. Well, like...
Well, it's not. It's not just bad, of course. Like, I mean...
It's too
being
complex.
Being lazy is also bad. Like, not having any ambition is bad.
Is
it's
it?
It's a balance. I think having no ambition is, like...
But what if that makes you happy?
If you have no ambition and you're not harming others, then okay, fine.
Yeah, but by not helping others,
yeah,
you're harming them. So
that's my thought. I don't know. But, I mean, I think it's good to have ambitions. It's just, you know, they can't run amok.
Is
amok.
Is apathy the best opposite of ambition?
Ooh, interesting.
Or is laziness the
best
opposite
of
ambition?
You can be very ambitious and very apathetic.
Oh, that's very true.
I think so.
That's very
I don't
true.
Think it's a good opposite. I think...
Yeah, let's learn about ambition.
Maybe
by
Maybe complacency
analyzing.
Is the opposite
yeah,
of ambition.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Maybe?
I think.
Or, like, if you're in, like, your high school, let's say, that was really ambitious. Like, everyone there was really ambitious, and you could just be, like, complacent in that culture and still be really ambitious. So it depends,
ooh,
like, in what context.
What if you're ambitious about, like, maintaining the status quo?
Right.
I wonder what the opposite... Wait, now I'm, like, really curious. Like, what is the...
Like unmotivated
opposite.
I mean,
yeah, but that's like boring.
That's the opposite of motivated. So
wait, let me see. When you okay, if you look up ambitious,
this is live radio. I feel
well, yeah, I feel like this is fun. They do this all the time where they're like, let me just blah blah blah. antonyms disinterest, satisfaction. That's an interesting one.
Oh,
ooh, laziness, that needs to be talked about.
Humility, contentment, pessimism, indifference, apathy, lethargy, idleness, repulsion, hatred, disgust.
Wait, how
aversion.
Is hatred the opposite of ambitious?
Yeah, and like, you can be a very pessimistic, ambitious person.
Can you? I don't know if you can.
You can be like, everything is awful, but like...
I don't think you can be a pessimistic, ambitious person.
Yeah, because if you're really ambitious, you see like hope for the future and whatever, even if it's your own future.
The antonyms for ambitious are unenthusiastic, again, satisfied, fulfilled, content. This is interesting, I think.
Yeah.
I think this is telling to how we see the word ambitious, that the antonyms are like content. Like, you can't be content and ambitious. No, no, no.
Well, if you're content with like everything around you, then you would just not...
You wouldn't have ambition to...
Like, do anything. Yeah.
I think you... I don't know. I think... I mean, maybe technically according to like the definitions you can't, but I think you can be content and still ambitious.
Does it by chance tell you the definition? That might be also useful to understand ambition.
Well, that was thesaurus.com, but if we go to dictionary.com, it says... An earnest desire for some type of achievement or distinction, as power, honor, fame, or wealth, and the willingness to strive for its attainment. And the, oh my God, the sentence is, too much ambition caused him to be disliked by his colleagues. That's interesting.
See, I disagree with that.
I'm shook. Well, there's three definitions. The second definition is, the object, state, or result desired or sought after. The crown was his ambition. Okay, that one's a little, like, okay. And then the third is the desire for work or activity, energy. I awoke feeling tired and utterly lacking in ambition. I feel like that's a kind of a good...
middle ground.
Contrast to the first one, yeah. It's like... But that one was also, again, that one also triggers me a bit because, you know, the overwork culture that we live in of, like, work, 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 work. We had our self-care episode, and we talked about, you know, that's the tea.
A need for that. Need for self-care. Have you been self-caring, Mona?
I don't know. I feel like it's hard because sometimes you need... Like, yeah. I feel like sometimes I watch, like, 20 minutes of
TV. Before finals is, like, get some self-care in, but, like... Don't overindulge.
No, that's not what I was going to say.
I would say the opposite. Yeah, like, I was gonna finals is when you need to have like the most self-care.
I was going to say that like I feel like sometimes I'm like, okay, I watched 20 minutes of TV. I did self-care. But like I actually need more self-care. I need more TV.
Yeah.
And I just have to accept that.
Well, maybe you need like a different type of self-care.
Yeah.
Maybe self-care is like talking to a friend.
Yeah. Crying in my bed. Haha, JK. It's really dark in here. I'm going to turn on the lights.
Thank you. I was hoping that would happen at some point, just magically, but I do realize now that action must be taken. So, yeah.
I feel like the vibe really just changed.
It definitely did. Now we can be more ambitious, I think. We were sitting in the dark studio, and I feel like now it's very bright. And
so you associate the light with ambition.
Oh, very possibly. I mean, that's like the end of Pippin, kind of. Jump into the fire.
Oh my God, that was so dumb.
I actually recently saw a production and they had this sort of like technological theme, which I thought made it way worse.
Yeah.
But at the end, they're like, step into the giant light. And I'm like, it was supposed to sort of represent like social media success. Kind of because of how they framed it, which was really disappointing because it's way better when they're literally asking this man to jump into a fire and self-immolate and just go out in one final blaze of amazing, perfect glory.
Which, if you think about it, like, makes no sense, which is the point, I think. Because it's like, that wouldn't be a final perfect glory. Like, that would be, like, disturbing to watch. I wouldn't enjoy it. I don't know, like... Oh, God. Such a dark time in my life. Being in Pippin.
I love it so much. I love Pippin.
I'm surprised you like the musical Pippin. I feel like it's so basic and derivative. It's not original. The themes are like wholly unoriginal. Like there's nothing creative about it.
What?
Other than it's just a story.
What show did you act in? Because I am very convinced it was not Pippin.
Yeah, maybe you had a really bad director.
No, I love my director.
Okay. You can love your director and they can be a bad director.
No, she's a good director. I want this on the air, on the record. I like her. I just think it's one of those shows that every high school is like, let's do Pippin because it's like a coming of age story about like finding yourself and finding meaning. And then everyone's like, okay. And then you do it. And then you're like, okay, we did Pippin. It's like such a basic school to do in high school.
Okay.
A basic show to do in high school.
You went to a very different high school than me.
Really?
Yeah, we only did Westerns.
What?
My music director loved wearing cowboy hats, and so we only did Westerns.
What?
It was
awful. Did you do Oklahoma?
Yeah, we did Oklahoma.
Like, every year?
We did The Music Man.
I love The Music Man.
It was so bad. We did do Mary Poppins, which was quite nice. I really enjoyed that.
That's so crazy.
Yeah.
No, actually, though, I don't think I find anything original in Pippin that I didn't hear somewhere else.
Well, maybe the things you think, like, came before Pippin came after it.
Or maybe you're reading very different themes from the show than other people.
I don't know. It's, like, about, like, finding meaning, not getting ahead of yourself, finding yourself.
I feel like that's a very, like, simplistic reductionist take. I feel like
I don't know if there is a deeper down. Living at
I wish I could weigh in on this, but I just haven't seen Pippin.
I think it talks about some, like, really... It asks us, like, what, like, matters to us. Because I don't know that I, like, would be happy to just settle down and, like, have a family. Because, like, I do think some part of me, like, really does want to do something great and, like, really impactful. You know?
You know?
That's my struggle with
Pippin. You know what piece of media I learned all of this from pre-Pippin and in a better way than Pippin? The classic novel An Abundance of Catherines by John Green.
Interesting.
And you can quote me on that. Have we all read this book?
I have.
I read it, but I don't remember.
It is by far the greatest John Green book. All the other John Green books are just wannabes. And it's about this guy who wants to be famous. It's about this child prodigy who wants to be, like, famous for his math, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, I must be a famous mathematician, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, you know, he dates 14 Catherines, and that's funny. And, like, and then he, like, wants to be famous for his Catherine theorem. And then, like, at the end, it's like his Catherine theorem doesn't even work, but he, like, doesn't care because he's like, I don't need that in my life. And I, as a young, vulnerable middle schooler, was very struck by this book. And then when I saw Pippin, I was like, this is the same thing. But no, actually, I do remember comparing Pippin to that book. Because, you know, I mean, it is, let's be real, it is a common theme of, like, ambition, you know, destroys you and you have to learn to be grateful for what you have. Like, that's not an original theme by Pippin. That's
fair.
That's present in other things.
Mm-hmm.
Gabby, that would mean it's not an original
Pippin
theme.
Story?
It would mean it's not an original theme for you to have on your radio show.
Where did you learn about, like, what's your ambition story that you refer
to? My ambition story? I don't know. I mean, I think I probably went to, like, grew up in, like, a similar competitive environment. Mm. Not competitive, but, like, one very much focused on achievement.
Mm.
We were talking about this in our project because I interviewed my mom for a sociology project, and she was saying how, like, she defines social class by achievement and, like, educational achievement, which I found to be very true. So there was, like, a lot of pressure, obviously, about college, but I don't know. I think, especially, like, being here now, I find myself, like, being able to, like, resist that or put that aside. I don't feel like I'm, like, driven by ambition primarily.
Do you feel like there's, like, a text or a movie or a book or something that, like, is, you know, the ambition archetype that you kind of turn to? For Noah, it's Pippin. For me, it's John Green.
I can't think of, like, a piece of media, but I mentioned, like, being the youngest child. And and so, like, my oldest sibling is, like, very ambitious and very high achieving, as is my my not oldest sibling. So I think, like, that was always, like, the archetype in my family for, like, success and achievement.
Ooh.
I think another spicy, really interesting place that ambition sort of exists in our society is with small bands and local music groups. And something extremely exciting is here at WMFO on Saturday, May 4th.
Tune in
to hear some of your favorite local musicians. Between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m., WMFO will host 9 bands and musicians. Yes, folks, that is 9. Please tune in to WMFO 91.5 FM for Live Music Day. Hopefully, some of these bands, after you listen, if you're a big record producer, You can contact them. You'll fall in love, and they will make it big, and all of their wildest ambitions will come true.
Smooth transition.
Very smooth.
You go.
Another smooth transition I was going to have.
Oh, I was going to make one, but you go.
Is that there's this great song by a band, an individual, a musician who did make it big, about sort of the social pressures that drive us to be ambitious, and maybe some of the consequences of that. And it's called The Fear by Lily Allen, and I would love to play it, if that's all right, Mona.
Please play it. Please play it. That was beautiful.
Well then, everybody, this is The Fear by Lily Allen, and please enjoy.
I wanna be rich, and I want lots of money. I don't care about clever, I don't care about funny. I want loads of clothes, and loads of diamonds. I heard people die while they're trying to find them. And I'll take my clothes off, and it will be shameless, 'cause everyone knows that's how you get famous. I'll look at the sun, and I'll look in the mirror. I'm on the right track, yeah, I'm on to a winner. It's about film stars and less about mothers. It's all about fast cars and cussing each other. But it doesn't matter, 'cause I'm packing plastic, and that's what makes my life so fantastic. And I am a weapon of massive consumption, and it's not my fault, it's how I'm programmed to function. I look at the sun and I look in the mirror. I'm on the right track, yeah, we're on to a winner.
Thank you, Noah.
Happily.
Inspiring.
I think that's a really good song about just sort of like, it doesn't matter what I'm doing, I just need to like make it to the top and like be successful, and like just being totally blinded by ambition and throwing aside your morals like to like achieve these ambitious goals.
I think that is an interesting question that I always ask, is how come when literally every famous person ever, and there are so many stories, movies, books, everything about like just wanting fame is bad, makes you unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
Fame for the sake of fame mm-hmm. is terrible, like objectively proven to be a not good experience. And yet people are like, I want to be famous. I'm like, I want to be famous. Do I think being famous would make me happy? No. but still it's like, I'm like, oh, if only someone discovered me.
Yeah.
Why do you think we have, like, why do you think there are, you know, why don't we listen? Like,
because I don't think we really do have to deal with the consequences, and we don't really, like, we can't really sympathize with, like, people once they become famous, even if they're like, oh my god, this is so awful, and you're like, oh, come on.
Oh my god, yeah, but yeah, that reminds me, you guys know the song, can we play the song later? I just like the song. It doesn't really fit with the theme, but, oh no, it does. That I took a pill and a visa.
Dun, yeah.
Dun,
to a beach. So if you listen to the original version of that song, it is like an acoustic, stripped down, sad song. Mm-hmm. And it's a warning. It's like, you don't want to be me. And then it, you know, the whatever remix went.
I didn't know that. That's so interesting.
Yeah, huge. And he wrote a whole article about it too, where he was like, "This song is about me, like reconciling, like my like."
Yeah, Mike Posner wrote "Cooler Than Me," and everybody loved it. And then he disappeared.
Became depressed. He's like, "You don't want to be high like me. Never really knowing why like me. Aimless ambition. The whole all I know is sad song. Like that's sad." And then it's now, the fact that the line is, you don't want to be high like me, and it's a party anthem, is so ironic. So ironic. And it is such a bop, but, like, it's just so weird to me. I don't know. Anyway,
I'm glad I
learned that. That's so
Isn't that crazy? It's very interesting. And it's also something, like, did you ever think about the lyrics to that song?
No.
No. But then when you think about it, you're like, oh, yeah, like, he's sad.
Yeah.
Like, what is it? I got $1 million something, and I spent it on girls and shoes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a real big baller because I spent $1 million.
Because I made $1 million.
And I spent it on girls and shoes. I don't ever keep a girl, no.
We don't even need to play it, Mona. We just do our mission right now.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Yeah, tragedy.
But it's so, you're right. Maybe it's because we don't have, maybe it's because we can still just fantasize, like, no, it would be good.
Well, it's like, you know how, like, when people win the lottery, like, I think there's, like, crazy statistics about how many people become super depressed and super, like, unhappy after winning the lottery. And we're like, yeah, but, like, I'm still going to play, don't play the lottery. The lottery is bad, objectively, please, listeners. Do not play the lottery.
Why is it that? I mean, I knew it wasn't good.
I mean, your chances are so low.
But is it like, I thought it was just like bad, stupid bad. Is it like harmful?
Yeah, it's
I guess harmful. It's like gambling. Like it can be an addiction.
It's state-sponsored gambling. And like, it mostly impacts lower-income people because like, they need the pipe dream to become successful because they've like tried the American dream and they're working a bunch of hours and they're like not being successful and they're like, well, like this isn't working, maybe the lottery
interesting.
Will
interesting okay fair.
And also, even though it's supposed to cover education, typically they just cut the education funding and like replace it with a lottery. They don't like add it on top.
Oh, good.
So it's kind of a scam.
Good
in that regard as well.
We love that. That's inspiring.
Please don't play the lottery. It is bad ambition.
Ooh, what's good ambition?
Helping people.
But again, it's hard to balance an ambition to help people without letting your own ego get in the way. Why did you roll your eyes at that? Well, that is a perfectly balanced thing.
What about like, I
want to
save
thing.
The planet. I'm ambitious about.
Do you want the planet to be saved, or do you want to be the one to save the planet? That's I think where the bound. That's the distinction.
I think all people want recognition for hard work, and like
of course.
So like, if you're working to save the planet, you want people to recognize that.
But do you like? But I'm saying,
you don't need fame.
Yeah,
like,
but
it's different.
But there are some people who are like, I want to be the one to save it, and like maybe they withhold information so that they're the one to save it. You know, I don't know. Yeah. Like, I feel like that ambition to help others can be totally skewed and manipulated.
For sure. Yeah, and it's and then. That's when you start like betraying the people in your organizations and they fall apart and you effectively create the least amount of change possible.
Yeah,
it's really destructive.
But something, an interesting story that my dad likes to say, which Noah is going to actually despise with all his heart. And tragically, my dad is watching a movie and cannot text me his little like comments he likes to make during the show. But my dad, in his defense of Big Pharma, likes to not like a full defense, but in his like devil's advocate thing for Big Pharma is like likes to give some example of like some sort of vaccine or DNA, I think, the search for the
human genome project,
and a university was like, it is going to take X number of years, and then a company was like, I can do it in, you know, a third the number of years for a profit. And then they both did it in that number of years. So, like...
But there's, like, a lot of, like, complications with that whole project.
I'm sure. I'm so sure. I actually know nothing about the Human Genome Project because it has the word STEM in it. So, you know. But, I don't know. I think that's... Yeah. I don't know how I feel about that because I feel like... I'm sure for every one of those stories, there's a bunch of stories of people like being super sketchy, and we know those stories. Yeah, of like people like withholding information and like not
oil
giving
companies,
credit. And
like oil companies have discovered a bunch of green technology, and then they get patents on it, and then they refuse to let those technologies be implemented because people would no longer need oil. And
that's so bad.
Thanks, U.S. patent laws. We love it.
Wait, can they do that?
Completely. ExxonMobil.
So they just know green technology and are just like, what's their PR like speech for that?
They don't want people talking about it, and they're like, we invest a lot of money in research in green technology. Look how good we are.
But when people are like, but you're hiding it, like, what do they say anything, or are they just like, haha, no?
I mean, do you hear people talking about
it?
No. Like, they don't have to do PR for it because like nobody knows about it because. They've also
people are gonna still keep using like the oil. Like, it's not like, I mean,
we can't like boycott ExxonMobil.
Yeah, it's not gonna happen.
It's just
anytime
too difficult.
Soon.
Interesting.
Some people just need cars to get around because we don't have good enough like public transportation, and people live far away from things because of how we've built our cities and suburbs.
Yep.
It's kind of a mess.
Good.
Woo.
Well, ambition to save the planet.
We do have to talk about climate change every episode.
Every episode, for sure.
It would not be Mona Noah Saves the World if not.
What's another fun song to play? Yeah, I want one of your little transitions.
Okay. So, we were... this would have been so, so perfect earlier when I was talking about the WMFO Live Day on Saturday, May 4th. Don't forget it, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and in a musical that I quite enjoy, which is Rent, there is one character sort of doing this exact thing. He is dying of AIDS, so that kind of like is a contributing factor, because he wants just to make one song that is impactful and meaningful and famous. This is one song, Glory, from Rent, and I hope you all enjoy.
One song, glory. One song before I go. Glory, one song to leave behind. Find one song, one last refrain. Glory, from the pretty boy front man who wasted opportunity. One song, he had the world at his feet. Glory in the eyes of a young girl. A young girl. Find glory beyond the cheap colored lights. One song before the sun sets. Glory on another empty life. Time flies, time dies. Glory, one blaze of glory. One blaze of glory. Glory.
life like a blazing fire, an eternal flame. Find one song, a song about love, glory from the soul of a young man, a young man. Find the one song before the virus takes hold, glory like a sunset. One song to redeem this empty life. Time flies, and there's no need to endure anymore. Time dies.
I should listen to Rent.
You should watch Rent also, I would say.
Do you like the movie?
Yes, the movie's good. Watch a YouTube pirate a musical instead.
Probably.
Sorry, FCC, if you're listening in. Oh,
the FCC is listening. Really, they need to find better things to do, is all I have to say.
Fix net neutrality, please.
That's a good one. How are we feeling about ambition? Are you feeling more ambitious, less ambitious?
Yeah, we need to start having final thoughts.
We love reflection. Today at my training thing, they were like, we need to reflect all the time. And I was like, okay.
You need to do things and then reflect. You can't just reflect.
Yes, sorry. It was in the context of doing things and then reflecting.
I see. Always making sure you go back and reflect.
Clear. Yeah. I mean, the bulk of it was doing things, and then it was like, reflection is so important. I was like, okay, I will reflect, and I will overthink. They go hand in hand.
I feel like I don't even know what ambition is anymore.
Yeah,
I feel like
we
really. Oh no.
I feel like I feel the same, which I wish, like, I want, like, a dramatic change my
resolution.
Mind thing. But I just feel like the same.
We just have.
But I do feel like I feel the same, but now with like broader context and awareness.
That's good. I can appreciate the value of that.
Interesting
reflections.
How do you feel, Noah?
I feel like now I'm like, is ambition such a bad thing? Because maybe I'm ambitious, even though I came in and I was like, ambition is bad.
What? No, you didn't. I thought you came in.
Yeah, that was the impression I got.
Let's talk about, we've talked about in schools, sort of like your experience with ambition in schools. Let's talk about society at large, kind of, and like how a culture is like, have we done this? I think we haven't.
No.
Not yet.
No.
So if like.
Well, we did in the media, and we did in schools, and we did in family.
True. Oh, something.
Well, I feel like it's hard to just be like, in society as large, ambition is X.
I briefly touched upon in the very beginning how like science is like really negatively impacted by ambition, and I think that's worth more expansion.
Yeah.
The reason why we have all of these like news media pieces that are, I mean, I feel like this is so stereotypical to talk about, but like, oh, like chocolate, eat chocolate every day and you're like not have heart disease, or like the like, oh, like wine is so good for you, drink it all the time. And then, like, the next week it's like, don't eat butter, you'll die. You know, like, all these sensationalist things are because of, like, scientists who, like, one of the problems is, like, funding. To get funding, you have to have something that's, like, cool and out there and, like, meaningful and impactful.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're just, like, throwing together some, like, organic chemistry, like, nobody cares about that. Even though that is a really good way to, like, actually do create meaningful impact. And, like, we can learn so much from, like, non-sensationalist research. Yeah.
Well, I think, yeah, also we were kind of talking at dinner about how it very much, like, over-ambition culture or over-achievement culture, are they the same? Are they different? We kind of discussed. Very much ties into consumerism because it's like you can never have enough.
Yeah.
Buy more, try more, work more, do more. More, more, more. Do you guys know that song? It's
yes,
this random song that always plays in the local movie theater that I work at. Oh my God, we have to listen to it. I'm going to find it somehow. It is No, we can't. I don't know how I would find it. I didn't. It's like this old timey song because it's like an old timey movie theater, and it just goes like, more, more, more. I could keep going.
Nice.
Yeah, that's all I had to say.
That just made me think of Fabulous from High School Musical.
Oh, we love that. We love that. Wow. I can't believe we're at the end, and yet we're not, because Noah and I, and maybe Gabby, up to her, she's a freebie, are staying a full other hour.
Yes.
But we're just going to play music.
Yes, it will not be Mona and Noah Save the World. It will be Mona and Noah chill in the studio and play exciting songs, or chill songs, or a bunch of totally different songs for you, our lovely listeners.
Aw, God bless them. God Can you say God for the FCC? God.
Yes, that is a lot.
It's not a curse word.
I don't know. Yeah, well, I really want to play the song that you want to end with. It's so nice. Well, Gabby, you have to do the honors. Gabby, read that thing, but fill in the blank on the bulletin board.
Yes.
Okay.
In the mic, Gabby.
I forgot what it's called. This is... Noah and Mona Save the World, and you're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio.
We're really we need a tally sheet.
We should
We should in the studio put
maybe,
together.
Maybe I think I know why it is. It's because you're always sitting behind the op board.
That's very bad. It is technically Mona and Noah Save the World, but everybody says Noah and Mona Save the World.
It's the patriarchy speaking.
What did I say?
Noah and Mona Save the World.
Yeah.
Oh. So you're sexist.
Maybe it just has a better ring to it.
It doesn't. Mona and Noah Save the World.
What's your Instagram?
Mona and Noah Save the World.
Oh, yes, it is on our Instagram. Mona, you want to plug that? Even though...
We haven't posted in months, and we will probably not post again until next year, but next year we'll be back.
Yeah, we definitely will be here. This is our penultimate show, our second to last show. We definitely stay tuned next week for the exciting theme that we'll have that we definitely have come up with already.
Oh, we should. I have one.
Ooh. A sneak peek for the listeners.
I think it should be goodbyes.
Oh,
I cry.
Me too, Noah.
I hate saying goodbye.
I cannot say goodbye. I'm the worst at saying goodbye.
Mona and I finally are on the same page.
It'll just be crying.
Crying at goodbye.
Yeah, join us next week for us to just cry as we bid farewell to each other.
I will find an hour of just crying on YouTube.
There's going to be such good songs.
Way too good goodbyes. Such a song I have no sympathy and relatability to.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, what? No. Oh, my God. Do you know the Bruno Mars song, What We've Got's Too Good to Say Goodbye? Can we play that next hour?
I think we can.
Okay, well... Here's our... Okay, tell us about the final song. I really like Noah's idea with this one.
So, because I came in being like, ambition is bad. Like, which I... Maybe ambition isn't so bad, but we cannot say that living a simple and a happy life and just like letting things sort of happen and being good with them, like, that's a totally valid thing. And if you enjoy that, like, please do it and be fulfilled by that and find the meaning in that. Like, and... Don't let anybody tell you that you're not being ambitious enough, because, like, live your life in a meaningful way to you and in a way that, like, brings you joy. And so this song, Happy Accidents by Saint Motel, is very much like, I'm so glad that things have happened the way they have. And, like, I don't need to, like, yearn for these great things, because, like, things are just going to happen and I'm just going to be happy with that.
Beautiful.
So,
let's go.
I think a lighter note than everything before, this is Happy Accidents by the amazing, amazing band.
Noah loves them, and he's rightfully so.
Saint Motel, please enjoy.
Freckles form a line around your face, and I get lost when I try to find my way. I start to tumble down, pick me back up off the ground. Teardrops boiling in a pot of gold, and we drink up till we're wrinkled and we're old.
mean everything.